W-Mobile.
W-Mobile, morning, Ken.
Hey, good morning, Eric. How are you doing today?
Back on the road for my stop for breakfast and headed down.
Probably too much. Just hoping that it's going to be a nice, easy coast-by day.
Well, so good on the southbound side, and I haven't seen anything major on the northbound side, but I'm still pretty far north.
It's saying it's all right now. Boy, yesterday evening, it was terrible.
Yesterday, so I got to miss the fun.
Me going home, I was wondering why there were so many cars on the way I was going. And I looked at the map, and it's like, man, 85 was just solid red from between 290 and 101 all the way down past Pelham Road. Yeah, Roger.
Typical for the afternoons, like every day, you know, I try to leave work no later than 3. But even if I leave as early as 2, I'm going north and I'm looking over on the southbound side and it's backed up from, you know, exit 51 Woodruff area, you know, all the way up to the airport practically.
Even further north than that. DOT road sign, it just said there was heavy traffic and expect delays at the 54, but man, it was backed up all the way into, I don't know, 60-something.
I'll hold out for us and we'll be able to get in and out of work pretty easy.
You ready for that cold weather coming this weekend?
Giving firewood delivery in the house this morning, and I've already got the furnace ready to go for some extra heat. Both houses, so yeah, we should be good. I think we're going to see forecasted low tonight is 17, and I think it's 12 tomorrow night.
Cold, I saw it was saying the wind chill here on Sunday was going to be 7.
Well, Courtney and I are going into Charlotte on Sunday afternoon. We have a concert we're seeing there Sunday night, so yeah, that'll be fun.
Which won't be too bad. I think there's supposed to be a chance of what flurries up there by you guys today, isn't it?
I think in the forecast, you know, Shelby's pretty far east, so we don't usually get any mountain effect stuff. Put in for this weekend.
Staying around the house, not too much. And then I'm probably going to try to do some digital stuff, see if I can at least make a contact or two.
We get the kids Saturday afternoon, the kids come back. So most of the day Saturday, I think we're going to be working on the house. I've got some electrical work to do in the kitchen before the cabinet makers can come. I've been putting it off and, you know, trying to, you know, plan for it, but I finally need to get it done. So I'll probably try to do that on Saturday, and then I might work some digital on Sunday, try to get the kids involved with it a little bit.
Probably a good starting point, I guess, especially for the newer generation coming up, because you know, if you got mic fried, at least the computer does a lot for you.
Definitely a little shy. I'm not sure it has anything to do with mic fright. You know, one thing I noticed after I got together with Courtney is that the kids, like, you know, they don't talk a whole lot, and I think, you know, they're so used to communicating on a computer that I just they don't speak much. You know, Finn will get on the radio. I've had, you know, the younger one, he's 8, and I've had him on the radio before, but it's like, you know, I think the art of conversation hasn't really developed with him yet, so he doesn't really carry much of a conversation.
I was just thinking the several of the POTA people, I don't know if you ever worked the POTA station, but I wonder how they do it on digital, if they just call out CQ POTA and say where they're at, and I wonder how you would respond to it.
I do basically CQ POTA and then the park number, and then somebody will, you know, come back and give them a signal report, and they'll get one back, and then that'll be it. But yeah, POTA exchanges, what I like about POTA is that while a lot of people treat it as like a contest station, you know, most POTA operators will still rag to you a little bit and at least, you know, talk for a while. So, you know, I don't like the whole, you know, one and done, you know, just get a signal report and call it a day kind of contact. So I like to at least, you know, get a little bit of information about the station and what they're doing.
Yeah, so I guess, so on the FD8, when I transmit, you know, it says CQ, my call sign, and my grid square. So do I need to maybe change that to put, like, their call sign and that to be able to contact them?
You can still do CQ POTA. You know, in FT8, you know, you've got those message boxes down there, and there's six of them, and the exchange will cycle through up to six messages. So, you know, you can just modify those messages to say whatever you want to say. And I think, like, you know, CQ, POTA, your call sign will fit in one, and then you can use another one to transmit the signal report and the park number, and then, you know, a third one can be the 73 or whatever it is. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there's nothing saying that you have to use a rigid format for your FD8 conversation. You can always, you know, modify those boxes down there and make it say whatever you want.
KO4CEF.
KN4GFW.
JKT.
With the POTA stuff, they don't even actually have to use the CQ POTA. There's no real format. They can just call like normal. So if you just know the call sign you're looking for, you can just click on CQ, their call sign, or POTA, and then they can go from there. But there's no real exchange that has to be done besides the signal report.
Look for a minute.
They'll be selling Boy Scout camp cards in the frigid temperatures.
And this weekend, I think I was telling Ken that in Shelby, we're expecting, I think the low tonight's going to be 17, and then tomorrow night, 12, with high winds on Sunday, I guess. So it's going to be fun for Courtney and I to go into Charlotte on Sunday for the concert if it's that cold and windy.
I hope it's not too windy. Yeah, because we're selling a little bit today. We're going from, like, 4 to 6. And then tomorrow we sell from, like, 9 to 1, if I remember correctly. That's what I signed up for. So, yeah, definitely going to be fun. I hope the wind holds off. I don't mind the cold temperatures, but, you know, the wind just makes it that much worse. What kind of concert y'all going to?
We're going to see Tool at the Spectrum Center Sunday night. It's a metal band. It's not really metal. It's I'm not sure how to describe them, but you know, they've been around since the early 90s, and they're touring. They came out with a new album at the beginning of the pandemic, and were never able to tour it. So now they're finally touring it, and this will be our third show in the last, you know, couple of years.
No, if I remember correctly, Learn to Swim, is that one of their songs?
For me, Courtney is the bigger Tool fan. She's been a fan for, you know, decades or whatever, and she's gotten me into it, but that song doesn't ring a bell. They're on their latest album, I think the more popular songs are Fear Inoculum, Numa, and Descending.
Yeah, I can't remember the exact name. I swear it's a Tool song, and it's got something to do with Learn to Swim, but it's just part of the lyrics. That might not be the actual name of the song, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But, yeah, I'm almost positive that's one of theirs. I just don't really know the name of it.
4TFW.
You also need to work on your JSA call. You can try it out. That's your conversational mode where you can actually talk to people keyboard to keyboard, you know, not using a microphone.
There's probably some spelling involved in there, and it might not have spell check.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Trust me.
And any song about Learn to Swim or anything by Tool. One comes up by the Skints, but nothing from Tool.
It's called Flood or something like that.
The Flood.
I think that's the song. It's a really good song. It's kind of long, but it's good.
Really long. This one's 7.5, which is actually kind of short for their newer stuff. But yeah, this is them. Your Toe album from '92. It's that was a really good album. That's one of the ones I like.
Good one. So, yeah, I might check out some of their new stuff.
Undertow album had one radio hit. They don't often get songs on the radio, but the song Sober made it to the radio, and they don't even like that song. That I think their producers or something, you know, made them do a radio song. So they never play it in concert ever. And they kind of don't acknowledge that it exists. But yeah, that was one song of theirs that made it to the radio.
Check it out on my Amazon music library.
Nirvana never acknowledged Smells Like Teen Spirit or ever played it in concert ever. Because, you know, like I said, it was like the radio hit, and they hated that, so.
The group would play a song that was a radio hit just because if it was a hit, means everybody liked it.
It's too hard to be ironic. Was that, you know, Maynard, you know, the guy, the lead singer and the guy who writes most of the music, you know, he's so highly intelligent, and he uses a lot of, you know, non-standard meters and time signatures and stuff like that, and it really makes the music enjoyable to listen to, because it's almost like it it requires some, you know, calculations to try to listen to it, you know, trying to figure out, you know, key signatures, time signatures, and stuff like that. So I've always been into music since I was a kid, you know, from a theoretical point of view, so it kind of scratches that itch, if you know what I mean.
I've never heard anybody talk about music that way, so, but they do definitely have an interesting sound. I'm on it, I'm going to have to pull it up when I get to work. Not a Tool song, Ken, but like I said, Flood is probably one of my favorites. I've listened to it for a long time. It happened after about the mid-80s, the late-80s, yeah, I probably don't know it.
And I think in like 91 or something like that. When you go to the concert, you know, and everybody there is like my age, and they're bringing their kids and stuff, and, you know, they really do have a loyal fan base. The last, we went to the show in Boston back in November, and the people sitting in front of us had their kids, and they had like a 10-year-old daughter and like an 8-year-old son or something like that. And we actually, Courtney and I actually bought the kids' T-shirts because, like, the, you know, they had come from a miles away, and, you know, the T-shirts were expensive, and I think the parents probably didn't have money, but, you know, Courtney and I bought the kids' T-shirts, and they were just over the moon about it because they were such fans, and even the kids, like, the young kids even loved it. So, you know, it's definitely different music, and you wouldn't expect it to be something that, you know, families would be into, but you go to a concert, and it's all, like, you know, middle-aged families with their kids. It's great.
To the music I grew up with, my dad played all the time. You know, your Steppenwolf and Iron Butterfly, those old, I guess, late 60s, early 70s music. And then I caught my boys, they'd be in there listening to Queen. You know, the major ones like We Will Rock You and whatnot. It's hilarious.
I saw Journey. When Journey came on, it was like, man, I needed some serious earplugs.
Concerts I went to when I was a kid was the, I don't know if you guys remember when Guns N' Roses was touring with Metallica and Faith No More, and they did a concert together in New Jersey, and I lived in New York, and that was a fantastic show, and I'll never forget that one.
That's a good one. Shoot, we went to, Myrtle Beach Bike Week used to be a big thing. We went down there 1 year, and I got to watch Steppenwolf in concert, and we were like right next to the stage and the speaker. It's a great concert, but holy crap, my ears were punished with that one.
Like hard of hearing for a few days after the Tool concert in Boston. Their sound guy just had it turned up way too loud, and it was really distorted, and you know, didn't sound that great. It was still a good show, but yeah, something was wrong with it, and man, we were just hurting when we left that place.
If you get, you know, too close and it's too loud, it can get a little tough. Because I remember that from that Steppenwolf concert, you know. They were so loud, but I knew the music, so it made a difference. But still, it just, yeah, I was hurt.
Tucker Band in Charlotte last year, too. That was a fun show.
Concerts. That's crazy. I don't think I've ever been to. I don't. That Steppenwolf one might actually be the only concert I really went to. KO4 CEO.
Yeah, Yeah, we try to get out, you know, a few times a year to shows and concerts. We take the kids to the Nutcracker every year in Charlotte, and then we're taking them to Peter Pan in April. And I'm actually going to see a performance of Rachmaninoff's Third Piano Concerto in February with the Courtney. So, yeah, we try to get a variety and go to shows pretty often if we can, just to, you know, enjoy the arts and try to support them, because, you know, in this country, we don't fund the arts like we should, so we try to do it ourselves, I guess.
You just get paid nowadays with streaming services like Amazon Music and all that.
I'm still here, just riding down the road listening to you guys. I never listened to really any of those groups you guys are talking about. Growing up, it was strictly old country, but now it's anything that's good. I mean, I like the stuff that was from, you know, the 70s, as far as what you would say rock and roll and that, but I like anything that's good, but I don't like a lot of really loud head-banging stuff. I like stuff where I can hear the singer and the voice more than the music. And that, but some of the stuff today, it just has a beat that, man, in the first 30 seconds, it gets me so bent out of shape, I just can't stand it.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably not going to like Tool then, but, you know, whenever I pick up the kids from school, you know, at the high school, you know, the teenagers get out, they're all firing up their cars to leave, and of course, they all have obnoxiously loud stereos in their cars, and what they listen to, I can't even make it out. It's just all noise to me. It's all bass and thumping and no, you know, there's some lyrics in there, but you can't understand what the heck they're saying. And, yeah, I definitely get you on that one, because, you know, it's, I need to be able to get some musical value out of it.
Some days I even just feel like playing some bluegrass.
Time for me. I'm going to play 7-3. Y'all be good, be safe, and hope we'll holler at you Monday morning. If you need anything over the weekend for FT8 or JSA calls, give me a holler, and I'll do what I can do to help you. All right, y'all have a good one. 7-3-KO4-CF, and I'll be clear on your phone.
7-3, Andrew. Be good. Stay warm this weekend. KN4-TFW.
73, Andrew. Have a great day. Be safe. And, yeah, stay warm this weekend. We'll see you next week. W2JKT.
The program that I'm using for the FT8, you know, it's got FT4 mode and a bunch of different modes. Does that have a JSA call on it?
JSA call is its own program that's based on that software. So the program you're using for FT8 is probably WSJTX. And then, so the JSA call program is separate, but it's based on WSJTX. So it uses a lot of the source code, and then it adds all the layering for the conversational messaging and message storage on top.
I downloaded the program. I don't remember if it was Patrick or Andrew told me which one. And then I got it downloaded. I don't have any parameters or anything set up into it. I figured I'd learn one of them, WSJTX or something. I figured I'd learn that program first.
Like FT8 software, then, you know, JSA call just adds a bunch of stuff to it. But JSA call is very similar to it, so it won't be too hard for you to pick it up.
Then I guess after that, it'll be on to Winlink.
Before, but it's one thing I ran into yesterday. I've got a couple of extra mobile radios at home, and one of them is a TMD700, which has a built-in TNC. So I was trying to set it up with my PC to do packets, and I think I need to get a different serial cable for it. But once I do that, I ran across Winlink as one of the things you can do with it on VHF, so I thought I might give that a try.
Many modes to do nowadays. You just got to figure out what you like, you know what I mean? If you're not used to doing stuff like that, you know, it's a little bit foreign. And then, but also, somewheres this weekend, I got to study a little bit for class, at least read the chapter anyway.
I'm going to Winlink a little bit further. It's something I've been wanting to try, so maybe we'll get that going as well. Did you ever get my number from Patrick?
Not yet.
Well, one marked, and I'll give it to you. And if you want to shoot me a text this weekend, yeah, we can work something out.
I have a writing instrument in this car. My number's pretty easy to remember. You know, it's of course, it starts out 864, so it's that way forward and backwards, except for a 3 at the end. 864-444-4683.
864-444-4683.
All right, actually,
let me know if you get it.
Yes, Green.
Drive itself.
Her dad, I don't have that luxury, but I don't know. It was, they were showing on an article yesterday, I think I was reading it, about the self-drivers, and it was saying that when people go from gas to the electrics and then they switch back and forth for the first year or so, there was a lot of accidents, but I just can't quite figure it out why.
That, you know, when I got this electric car, I didn't drive my truck for like a month, and so when I did drive my truck, it definitely felt a little weird.
You know, drives the same as a regular, you know, gas car. The only difference is the, you know, if you got the lane assist and the adaptive cruise and everything, if you're not totally paying attention, it'll get you in trouble.
I've had it scare me a couple of times, but my truck doesn't have any of that stuff. So when I did drive my truck, you know, I put it on the cruise control, and then I realized I was about to, like, you know, drive up into the car in front of me, and I'd forgotten that my truck didn't have adaptive cruise, that I had to actually keep it from, you know, hitting the car in front of me. So, yeah, it definitely took me a little bit to get used to driving it again.
Question for you. So you got the adaptive cruise on, and you're going down through there, and the car, you know, pulls in front of you, and it's starting to slow down, and your car slows down quick. Does it make the taillights come on?
Yeah, it's supposed to. I think if it slows down at, so there's some rate, and if it's slowing down faster than some rate, then it'll activate the brake lights. At least that's the way mine does it. Now I can slow down on mine without it activating the brake lights, but that's like a more gradual coasting kind of thing. But if it gets into regen or has to actually apply the brakes, it'll definitely turn the brake lights on.
Sometimes, and then, you know, I got my distance set, you know, a decent distance. And that, so sometimes, you know, a car will cut in front and start slowing down, and it just makes me go slower than I want to go, and for fear somebody's going to rear end me. And then, Lord, don't cross over a solid line if you don't have your signal on.
Me on lane changes too. If I don't have my signal on, it's kind of annoying. But Yeah, mine does the same thing. If I'm on, you know, adaptive cruise and a car cuts in front of me, the car will definitely slow down. What really bothers me about it is that after the car is gone, you know, like say somebody's cutting across two lanes of traffic or something, and they get in front of me for a second, my car will, like, kind of halfway panic and slow down a lot. And then even after the car is gone, my car takes a long time to decide to speed back up again. And it's really annoying because, like, there's no reason for that. It just sits there, and sometimes it'll even keep slowing down after the car is gone, and I have to get on the pedal to make it speed back up again.
That one is definitely takes a little bit to get used to. Hey, give me about 1 minute. I'm going into an area for whatever reason that my reception is terrible. Give me about a minute. KN4 TFW.
All right, WT, JKT, standing by.
KF4, MUF, Mobile, good morning, guys.
Morning, Jody.
I'm doing top shelf, man. Just listening to your conversation. With that in mind, does that make it to where, you know, people blame you for going too slow?
That happened, but it's annoying to me more than anything.
It sounds like it.
Jody?
Weekend, so not much of anything. I'll hang out and see if any trees go down, and we got to go in to clean them up.
High winds this weekend, aren't we? you get your way?
Must be like 38 or 30 something early Saturday, not early, but pretty much midday Saturday. I have 30 something.
Winter, isn't it?
What bothers me is that daggum wind, all this rain we had, makes the ground soft.
Well, I lost a lot of trees to that phenomenon, you know, with the soft ground and then, you know, the high winds come in. You know, I had a 2-acre wooded lot, and yeah, it was rough because I was always having to fix my fence and stuff like that, you know, because trees would fall on it after that kind of thing.
It's, and I expect some to go down this weekend, so I figure I'll make some overtime.
Take time and a half, can you?
Pay us from when we leave the house till we get back home.
Eddie and Shelby, like 17 degrees tonight, and like 12 degrees tomorrow night. So it's definitely going to be chilly.
Yes, sir, it will be. Like I said, it's not going to be too bad up there. I don't know what the lows were supposed to be tonight. And the day, you know, like today, that wind, what's this going to be cold, you know, trying to cut through you.
Can you remove a tree?
If not, we go from property or, say, from right-of-way to right-of-way, we cut it out, and we'll push it back in that wood lot from where it come out of. But if it's around the homes and stuff, we load them up on dump trucks and send them to the landfill.
Then sell it or something?
Really don't know what they do with that at the landfill. I'm pretty sure they just cover it.
Landfill, they used to have a big mulching operation there, so you'd bring them all your cuttings and whatever, and they would just mulch it up, and then you could get a scoop of mulch for like $15. And I think after the pandemic, they may have stopped doing that, but I'm not sure.
Because that, you know, they let you dump your land, you know, you're not no big logs or nothing, but your land clearing down there, your limbs and cuttings, and then they mulch them up. They give you the mulch. They'll just load it back up for free.
Henderson County, that I forget his call sign off the top of my head because we never talk on the radio, but he's in a group of people that they'll take, like if you've got a tree that comes down, they'll take it and then they'll cut it up into firewood, season it, and then give it away to, you know, people who can't afford heat or whatever in the wintertime. I might have to hook you guys up with him. If you're just going to haul it to the landfill, you know, maybe it might do better if he can cut it up and give it away to some folks that need it.
That'd be great. Time-wise, I don't think we got time to do that because we've got to get a road opened up. But that's a killer, man. I like that idea.
Hey, 7-3, I made it here. Everybody have an awesome day, and I'll catch you guys later. KN4TFW.
Be safe and have a warm weekend if you can. This is WTJKT. Talk to you later.
Enjoy your day, sir. Enjoy your weekend. We'll get you out here on down the log. Get it for him. You left. 7-3.
Do you remember that storm we had in Anderson a few months ago? It was really bad and it tore up a lot of trees. Yeah, he was really super busy making some firewood. So, yeah, I like that he does that because that's, you know, that's something that, you know, especially, you know, living in Seneca, I wasn't too far from, you know, the poor part of town. And, yeah, there were a lot of people that struggled to pay bills and heat their houses in the wintertime there. So it's good that he does that.
And when we first moved up here, we lived there in Seneca, too. We lived right behind that big church off of Wales Highway.
Yeah. When I lived in Seneca, I used to live there by the gas station and the hardware place, TriStar Import.
Yeah, we lived literally right behind the church. If, you know, you turn down that road right beside the church and you go up like three streets and make a left. I'm trying to think of the damn name of that road. And we were staying in like three houses down there on the left. Nice little rental place we had when we moved up here.
Yes, I liked our neighborhood. You know, I had a couple of acres and it was wooded and I had four dipoles up and a couple of verticals and all kinds of stuff. I had plenty of room. My lot now is only half an acre, so I only have room for one dipole, but I guess I get by.
2 acres there. Right now I've got my big tower up that's got, you know, some antennas on it, and I still got another 70-foot crank up I can put up, and I got a couple more small towers down at my shop, but I need to get some, you know, work on putting some more antennas up. That's my whole issue right now.
A small tower up at my house, but I know I'm not going to own this house for more than a few years, so I'm not going to go through the expense and the hassle of putting in a foundation and putting a tower on it, because, you know, 5 years I'll probably be out of this place, so, but yeah, I mean, I'm doing dipoles. I have a vertical mounted to the chimney that's on a mast that has it up pretty good anyway. It's probably 25 feet off the ground, if I had to guess.
We plan on this being our retirement home too, so that's why I poured the slab for this one. I've got that 40-foot room, 45 up for that, and eventually I'll probably put up a couple more sticks, you know, get it up just a little bit higher, but we'll see, you know. So yeah, I'm good with what I've got going on right now.
The last time I had a beam was when I was in college. You know, the Georgia Tech Radio Club had a 90-foot tower on the top of the engineering building. And, man, I could put a 100-watt radio on that thing and just get out everywhere. So I would love to have that again someday, but I just need to get settled to where I'm in a property I'm going to be in for a long time.
I still got a stack. There are 14 element, a crush craft, 14 element. They're called FM14s, and they're for vertical 2 meter beams, and I still got everything to put them together, and eventually I'll put them up. I've got that crush craft, I think it's a A3S or something like that. I still got to put it back together. Right now I'm just on an offset dipole for my HF stuff, and then I've got that little beam for my 2 meter stuff.
Out my vertical right now, I only have a dual band vertical up for V&U, but I need to get a tri-bander, because I do like doing 6 meters, and my dipole is tunable on 6 meters, but it's like 3.5 to 1, you know, so I can match it with the tuner, but it still doesn't get out as well as it could. But I'd love to get a tri-band vertical up so I can do some at least 6 meter FM stuff.
I am, but I just never heard nobody on 6 meters or nothing, so I eventually just got rid of them.
I'm with like higher speed data modes, and so, you know, 6 meters would be good for that because it's not so busy. There's not a whole lot of interference, and you can, you know, push higher data rates through.
Righty. Yeah, I'm still not that far along with this stuff. I like playing with my single sideband on, you know, using phone on that stuff.
Satellites too. You know, I've got that TS790, which is a full duplex V&U radio, and it's great for satellite. But I've just never, you know, I need to build myself a little handheld, you know, 2 meter beam or something like that, or 440 beam. But yeah, that's just another thing I need to get around to if I can ever find the time.
S2000 sitting there one of my base stations, so I got a good radio for satellite. Just never got into it, never even, you know, tried to.
I was in full duplex? I didn't think that it was.
It's like mode in it.
Well, I actually borrowed one of those radios for a while, but I never really got into doing the satellite stuff. But, yeah, if it can do it, that's great. I know the handheld I have, I have a D72 handheld, and it also is good for satellite work.
You know, it's right there. It's a whole program right there on the side of the nice side in front of the thing that you push to set yourself up with satellites and all that. But I've never messed with it. Use it for 2 meter single sideband and 2 meter FM on 146.520.
When I can get something up, I can put a rotor on. I'll get the horizontal polarized beam and start doing some SSB on VHF, because it's a lot of fun. But you just have to have the horizontal pole antenna for it, and you know, vertical's just not going to do that.
I've got that little vertical horizontal crush craft beam set up. It's like 10 or 11 element, so that's what I use on it.
But it would just have to be spinning, you know, in the same direction all the time, because I don't have any means to turn it.
come on, man, go old school. You know, like when you were at home as a kid, well, when I was. Get out there and turn that antenna. There you go, stop right there.
Let me put one of the kids up on the roof to do that. I'm starting to get down to where I'm going to start losing this repeater soon, so I'll just go ahead and sign with you, Jody. I hope you have a good weekend, and stay safe out there if you're cutting trees out. But yeah, we'll catch up with you next week, and hope you have a good one. This is W2JKT, and I'll be clear on your final.
Larry, thank you very much. You have yourself a great day out there. Enjoy it. 7-3s. We'll catch you next week. KF4MUF. We're clear.